My name is Alan Morse, and I would like to talk to you today about a subject that is tremendously important. We're going to be dealing with the wrath of God. You see, most people really don't like to deal with that, but you see, we're going to have to deal with it. Everybody does. You see, either we're going to believe the gospel and not have to worry about the wrath of God, or we'll end up with the wrath of God. When we die, we're going to either go to heaven or we're going to hell. And the wrath of God will be upon us if we go to hell. If we go to heaven, we'll never deal with that. And it's just something that we've got to deal with. Everybody has to deal with the wrath of God. But we've just got to understand it. Let's open up our Bibles. This is a Bible study. And open up our Bibles to Romans. And we're going to be talking in Romans quite a bit. But anyway, in Romans chapter 1, and we're going to start off with verses 18, and we're going to be dealing with the wrath of God. Verses 18, Romans chapter 1, verses 18. It says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven unto all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." Who hold the truth in unrighteousness. What is the truth? What is the truth that Paul always talks about? I like to go back. Let's keep your hand in Romans chapter 1 here and turn to Ephesians. Go through Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians, Galatians, and then Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. And what we're looking at is, what does it mean? What does he mean by truth? Truth in unrighteousness. Let's look at what the truth is. Let's look at verses 13. It says, "In whom you also trusted after you heard the word of truth." What's the word of truth? The gospel. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believe what? The gospel of your salvation, the truth, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This is, so we're talking about a person, and back in Romans chapter 1, again, verses 18, he has held the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, he didn't believe the gospel. He didn't believe the gospel. And that's the reason why the wrath of God is upon us. Okay, let's look at, get an idea about that. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just go back through Galatians and 2 Corinthians and then 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verses 18. He's saying, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us who are saved, it is the power of God." It is the power of God. So we're talking about preaching of the cross. See, they think it's foolishness. And of course, when you go back to Romans, you see that they're holding the truth in unrighteousness. They think it's foolishness. But to us, you and me who believe the gospel, it's the power of God. The preaching the cross is the gospel. It is the power of God. And you turn back to Romans again, chapter 1, and look what it says in verse 16. It says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone that believes." So what's the power of God? The gospel. And all he asks us to do is believe it. Now, if you don't know what the gospel is, let me explain it to you. In 1 Corinthians 15, it says that the gospel is that Christ died for your sins, and that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. You believe that. For your salvation, you'll be saved. You will be saved. And we just saw what happens then. You will be sealed with the Holy Spirit. God will come into you and live with you. And in doing so, we avoid the wrath of God. Totally avoid it. We don't have to worry about it because we're doing exactly what Jesus wanted us to do. He's the one that told us to believe the gospel. Paul says, I didn't get this gospel from man. This is Galatians chapter 1, 11. He says, I didn't get it from man. I wasn't taught it by man. I got it from the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all he did, was preach the gospel that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and he rose from the dead. And when those people believed that, they stood on it, that they were saved. Saved. Saved from the wrath of God. Saved for eternity, to live with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. What a wonderful thing. What a wonderful thing. Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Turn over to chapter 5. We're there at Romans chapter 5. And let's look at verses 8. But God, chapter 5, verses 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners. He just didn't die for the good people. He died for us while we were sinners. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we were justified by his blood on that cross. That's the gospel. We shall be saved, what? From the wrath through him. We're going to be saved from the wrath of God through Christ, what he did on that cross. He's shedding of the blood. And that's what we're looking at the gospel. He died for our sins. He was buried. And he rose from the dead. That's the gospel. And that's what I teach and preach, and I will till the Lord comes or takes me home, one or the other. Let's look at look at Ephesians. Let's turn to Ephesians. Romans, and then we go to 1 and 2 Corinthians, back to 2 Galatians, and then Ephesians. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 7. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 7. What does it say? It says that in the ages to come he might show the exceedingly riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. And then he says, this is the one that you really must know. It says, for by grace you are saved. What's grace? What's grace mean? It's unmerited favor. You see, we're not saved by doing anything. And there's no works that we can do to be saved. It's by the grace of God. It's unmerited favor. Jesus did it all when he died on that cross. He paid the sins for all of us, and he saved us by that. You see, it's no works that we do. There's nothing that we can do. It's putting our faith totally in what is shed blood on that cross, the gospel. It says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. What's faith? It means faith is taking God at his word, believing the gospel. When Jesus told Paul to preach the gospel for the body of Christ, this was salvation for the body of Christ, and we believe it. We believe it. And when you believe that, that's showing faith. You've been faith in what? Taking God at his word. We believe it. So it says, for grace you've been saved through faith. Through faith in what? The gospel. That Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose from the dead. And that not of yourself. See, nothing you could do yourself. It is the gift of God. See, God, people say, how can God give people, send people to hell? He isn't sending anybody to hell. He's doing everything to keep you from going to hell. His gift was his son. It was a gift of God. God gave his own son who took on that cross and died for you. It's a gift to God to pay the sin debt for everybody. And all he asks you to do is to believe it. Is that too much? That's all he's asking you to do is to believe what he gave you. And, of course, what he gave you was the gospel. And he's telling you to believe it, that Christ died for your sins. That's all he wants you to know that. And he was buried and he rose from the dead. It's a gift to God. There it is in verse 9. It says, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. See, when we go to heaven, we're not going to be standing around telling people what we did to get here. We did nothing to get there except believe the gospel. And that's pointing directly to Christ. Christ did it all. He did it all. When he said on that cross, when he said it was finished, it was finished. And it was a gift to you and me. All we got to do is believe he did it. That's all he's asking us to do. And man, the churches say, well, you got to believe, and then you got to be baptized, you got to speak in tongues, you got to join a church, you got to pay your tithe, you know, you got to pray to Mary, you got to take Jesus as your Savior, you got to believe in Jesus. That's not the gospel. Sure, I believe in Jesus more than anything in the world. And sure, he's my Savior. But he became my Savior. He became who I truly believe in by what he did on that cross. By the gospel. That's how I'm saved. And then when I'm saved by the gospel, I can say that he's my Savior. But not until I believe the gospel for my salvation. How wonderful his word is. How wonderful. Not of any works that you do. You have no works you have to do. All you've got to do is believe. Believe the gospel. Believe what he did. He died on that cross to pay for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. Just turn the page. In my book anyway, chapter 5, verses 6. What does it say? He says, "Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these... Because of this, thence cometh the wrath of God upon the sons of disobedience." What is the biggest problem to get the wrath of God? You're disobedient. You're totally disobedient. You don't believe the gospel. You don't obey God. You don't obey Jesus. Jesus told us that our salvation was the gospel. And we didn't do it. Let's look what happens when you don't. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Go right on through Colossians and then 1 Thessalonians. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and look at verses 8. This is what happens when you don't obey Jesus. When you don't obey him. It says, "In the flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them who know not God and obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." That's the wrath of God. Why did that happen? They obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They obeyed not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that Christ died for his sins and he's buried and rose from the dead, isn't preached anywhere hardly. It's just not preached anywhere. I've been going to church my whole life and I never had anybody stand up and preach the gospel. Say, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is a power of God unto salvation for those that believe." It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened in my life. Not once. I haven't ever had a preacher stand up and said, "Open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and we're going to show you what true salvation is." And it just explains it perfectly. Explains it perfectly what true salvation really is. It hasn't happened in my life. But I heard the gospel from a man by the name of Les Feldick. He's a cattle rancher. He sells cattle for a living, raises cattle for a living, but he teaches the Bible. And I never heard anybody teach the Bible better than he does. And he showed me the gospel. It didn't come out of the churches. It came out of an old cattleman teaching a Sunday school class, like a Sunday school class. But anyway, it's too bad. Let's turn to, while we're here in Thessalonians, just look at... First Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and then look at verses 10. It says, "And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he had raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivered us from the wrath to come." Christ is the one that delivered us from the wrath to come. It's his death on that cross that paid for our sins. You see, God couldn't look upon sin. And we were separated from God because of our sins. Again, we were all sinners. We're born sinners. The second we're born, we were sinners because we inherited from Adam. We inherited an old sin nature from Adam. And that's why Jesus had to be born of a virgin, because he couldn't be born of man, because they would pass down the sin nature in him, and he wouldn't be a perfect sacrifice for the sins of the world. So we're sinners. And so being that we're sinners, God can't look at us. But Christ paid the sin. And when we believe it, our sins are totally taken care of. And God can look at Al Morse and you and anybody else, if you are a believer, you believe the gospel, and he can say, his sins have been paid for by Jesus. We've been paid for by what he did on that cross. And he can look at me, and I'm perfect. Not for what I did, but what God did. Jesus did. How wonderful. Jesus did it all. Did every bit of it. So we don't have to worry about the wrath, because we put our trust in that person who paid for our sins. And we believe what he did. And that's what he did is what saved us. Okay? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And look at verses 9. Here again, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation. How are you going to do it? By our Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do? Who died for us, that while we are awake or asleep, we should live together with him. You see, we are not appointed to wrath, because we believe the gospel. We believe that he died for us, and that he was buried and he rose again. That's totally did away with the wrath of God. That's just really, really something. Really something. Let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Go back to chapter 2. And just look at verses 13. Yes, see. 2 Thessalonians, I got to make no first, I mean 1 Thessalonians. I knew I was in the wrong chapter, wrong Thessalonians. Okay. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's look at verses 13. It says, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning," now listen to that word beginning, "hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." What's the truth? We're going to see it in the second verse. "Unto which you were called by our gospel." That's the truth. "To the obtaining of the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. If that isn't once saved, I don't know what always saved. Look at what he has chosen us from the beginning. Beginning of what? I don't know for sure, but I'm sure before this world was ever made, he already knew who the people were going to be who would be living with him for eternity. He knew us by name. That could have been a million years ago. That's how great our God is. And he knew that Al Morse, sometime in his life, was going to come to the knowledge of the gospel. He was going to provide it for me. Because he knew that if I heard it, I would believe it. You see. And so it was up to him to provide somebody to give it to me. And the churches didn't do it. And I sat in churches for all my life, and they didn't do it. But God knew that I would have believed it if I was taught it. And it took an old cattle rancher to do it. But he put him in my life, and I listened to him, and it blew my mind how I could miss it. But I didn't. I didn't miss it then, and I believe it. And he knew it in the beginning, chosen you to salvation, it says, through the sanctification of the Spirit. That's the Spirit, the God that comes into you when you believe the gospel. And this belief, the belief of the truth, unto which he called you by our gospel. The gospel is what called me. Think about that a second. There's people walking around here today that aren't saved, because they hadn't had an opportunity to be saved. They've been in church all their life, and they still haven't heard the gospel preached. And so that's why he's called other people, people like Les Feldick. And that's why he has called me to teach the gospel, because the churches aren't doing it. They're not doing it. And because of this ministry that I've involved in, and just been involved for just a few months, I'm seeing not just a few people saved, but probably hundreds of people saved because they come to knowledge of the gospel and they never had it before. But those people that are believing the gospel because they never heard it before, they're hearing it now. And I put it on this internet just for that fact, so I could reach as many people as I could. And God is blessing this ministry greatly, as far as knowing that people, that's a blessing to me, is knowing that people are being saved by this ministry, and I see it constantly. Right now, as of now, there's almost 5,000 people that are on the actively listening to this messages that I give. And people's lives are being changed from it, because they believe the gospel. Because there's people out there that God has already got their name in the book of life, but they haven't heard the gospel yet. And so God says, the churches aren't doing it. We're just going to take old men like Al. And I hope there's 100 of them around this country, 1,000 of us, that are teaching the gospel. I know Les is doing it, and I'm doing it, and I'm sure there's many others, I hope anyway. Because it's the only way salvation, but the churches aren't teaching salvation by the gospel. They're using Judaism, and Judaism isn't the gospel. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians. Let's look at 2 Timothy. I'm sorry, I keep missing those things, getting mixed up. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8. It says, "Be not thou therefore unashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner." He was in prison at this time. "But be partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which he has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began." Now look at this verse 10. "But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light." How do they do it? Through the gospel. Through the gospel. Immortality. He has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You see, when we believe the gospel, we don't have to worry about death. We'll never know it. The second that I die, if, as an old man I am, the second I die, if I don't, the rapture doesn't come, my soul and spirit will go directly to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be given a spiritual body. I'm not going to be floating around up there. I'm going to be way better off than I am right now. I will never know death. You may know I'm dead, because the old body is going to go to the grave. But I won't be dead. And I will get a new glorious body like Christ's glorious body at the rapture. And we'll evermore be with the Lord. People say, where are we going to be? We're going to do whatever the Lord wants us to do. We're going to be with him wherever he's at. We're his body. He's the head of the church, and we're the body. The head doesn't leave the body. Can't do it. We'll always be with the Lord. How wonderful that is. How wonderful that is, and I just praise God for that. I want to say that we're in 2 Timothy. Look at 2:2, and this is why I'm preaching this gospel. It says, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 2, it says, "And the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, and the same committed unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. So he's committing his gospel to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And one that I know that is that way for sure is Les Feldick. He's in his 80s now, but he's been teaching the gospel for 25 years. And he's not a preacher. He's not a preacher. He's not a Sunday school teacher. He just is an old cattleman that stands up and preaches the word of God. And I'm just an old man too. But I'm going to be a faithful man just like Les was. I'm going to teach until the Lord takes me home, because the churches aren't doing it. The churches aren't doing it. And it's just scary. There's so many believers out there or think they're believers, and they really aren't. They don't believe the gospel for their salvation. And they don't have the Holy Spirit. And that's why the church is in the shape they're in. You see, their churches today, they may have 500 on their rolls, but probably only 75 show up. And the 75 show up, they don't have a clue what's going on. They're sitting there and they're thinking about everything else but what the preacher's teaching. They're ready to go home. You see, they don't have the Holy Spirit, because you don't get the Holy Spirit unless you believe the gospel. They may have walked the aisles. They may have shook the hands of the preacher and says, I believe in Jesus, and they may be baptized, but they're no more saved before. And that's why the church's divorce rate just as high as it is in the world. It's just the same. Nothing's changed. The gospel hasn't been preached, and people haven't been saved, and they haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what I'm trying to do, is point out the gospel so people can be saved and filled with the Holy Spirit and live lives that God would want us to live. It's just wonderful. Let us pray. Father, I just pray that these people today that hear my word would understand the gospel, and that they would come to the saving knowledge of Christ through his death, burial, and resurrection, Lord. And they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit, and they'd be able to be assured of their salvation and never have to worry about the wrath of God. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.